Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are in the world. Thank you for joining me for this week's SMIE Consulting Midweek Roundup. I'm your host, Marty Bennett, and today on the Roundup, we'll be taking a look at the three questions that all international admissions and international education professionals are asking this week. I give a warning first up today on the Roundup. There will be a rant going on in the first part of our chat today as we discuss an important development in policy by the administration. We'll talk about that in a minute. But before we get to that, we want to give a shout out to everybody who's watching live here on Facebook. It's always great to see you joining in the conversation and being present for these chats. Also to those listening on the podcast, thank you for making us a regular part of your routine each week. And we're looking forward to bringing you some important information today and hopefully some food for thought as we proceed into the coming weeks and months leading up to school starting again this fall. As we do each week, we take the stories, and today might be a slight exception to this, take the stories from our newsletter that comes out each Monday, the SMIE Consulting e-newsletter called All the SMIE News Fit to Share. That stands for Social Media and International Education News. And we focus in the roundup here on three of the stories or more that are highlighted in the newsletter on Mondays. So free to subscribe. You can find the link on the SMIE Consulting website, smieconsulting.org/subscribe. And you'll be able to find the link to all past editions of the newsletter as well as the subscription link. We also focus our midweek roundup on topics that spring to prominence in Monday and Tuesday, Wednesday, leading up to the roundup on Wednesday. And today is one of those exceptions to that. We're all aware in the field, and if you aren't aware, you've been living under a rock the last 3 days, about the SAVP memo that came out on Monday. And that's where we'll start our discussions today about what is that SAVP memo really all about. Now, for those who haven't seen it, I'll be dropping the links to this and a number of the related stories to it in the comments section here on the Facebook page for SMIE Consulting. But the ruling itself, the SAVP memo, is entitled SAVP Modifies Temporary Exemptions for Non-Immigrant Students Taking Online Courses During Fall 2020. Now, as you, those in the field, obviously anyone who's an international student advisor dealt with this right up front as institutions transition to all online classes in the spring term, that the hope was that SAVP at that time acted very quickly for government agency to allow exemptions for students who had, through no fault of their own, had to transition from an in-person curriculum, in-person classes in the spring term to all online. And the hope was that this would be extended through the fall, since part of the rationale in the spring was because of the COVID-19 emergency, these temporary exemptions were granted. So this memo is basically a return to, with a couple of exceptions, return to existing policy. An existing policy says that international students can take, must be enrolled full-time in seated classes, and they can take up to one class or 3 credit hours online per term. Now, that's the immigration regulations as they currently exist. This new temporary extension, or temporary final rule as they're calling it, now carves out that the previous exception for fully online courses is no longer, will no longer be applicable for the fall semester. And that that not only will students that would, whose institutions are all online in the fall, be forced to leave the country, which is outrageous to begin with, because the school has made the safety decision to be online this fall, the Department of State will not be able to issue visas, or will not issue visas to students whose schools and programs are fully online for fall semester. And Customs and Border Patrol would not, if they were to get a visa and then the school would go online fully, would not issue or would not permit entry for students to enter the United States if they presented at the border and said their college is fully online. So this is the options that SEVP thinks are, well, this should be no problem, are such as transferring to a school with in-person instruction to remain in legal status, lawful status, or the students would face immigration consequences, including but not limited to initiation of removal proceedings, and then potentially facing a 10-year ban if they're in the country for more than 180 days. So clearly, this is designed to punish students who, through no fault of their own, whose colleges decide to go online only for fall. And if colleges have made that decision, the only option that the government at present is allowing them to pursue is transferring to another school with in-person instruction. So the student that's been enrolled for 3 years at a college or university pursuing a bachelor's degree, or for 2 years for a master's degree and is finishing up in their final term, they're not going to be allowed to enroll at that college to finish their degree this year because of what this particular temporary final ruling is implying. Now, let's look at the numbers. At least what we have from the Chronicle of Higher Education, which puts out their regular surveys regularly updated list of colleges and what their plans are for the fall, has at present 60% of colleges are planning to be in person. So there are three categories that are outlined in the memo. One is those that are fully online. Clearly, international students would be able to physically come to campus for those programs. The second are those colleges that are doing in-person education. They'll be fine. So that 60% are fine, and that they would be meeting their current immigration regulations regarding on-campus versus in-person online classes. The third category is this in-between mix, and that's called the hybrid model, mixture of online and in-person classes. That this would be allowed under the current definitions of this temporary rule. So this temporary rule is clearly directed at institutions that are currently have decided to be fully online. Now, according to that Chronicle list, about 9% of those institutions that they've received responses from have decided that they're going to be fully online. This is a lot of California schools, the Cal State University system. USC has just made the decision to go fully online in the fall, and Harvard is going to be fully online for the entire academic year. So those schools have made that decision for safety reasons to be online only. And as a result, the government is now saying you're not going to be able to enroll any of your international students on campus if you're fully online, either new or returning students. So, but the hybrid model would allow that. So 9% would fall into that category and be fine. The 60% that said, or excuse me, not 9%, 9% would be online only, and those would be the ones that are most at risk at this situation of not having any international students show up. The hybrid model accounts for about 24%. So about 60% in-person, 24% hybrid, and that's current data. Institutions will change. Harvard just changed. USC just changed their minds recently. So that may lead to changing in those percentages. But the majority right now are planning for in-person would still be covered here, as would any that move from an in-person to a hybrid model for the fall. So the reality is for those students, what this does, it's been described in a number of ways as cruel, as a hostage situation that the federal government is holding universities hostage. If they want their international students to be in legal status this fall, they have to be in person or hybrid for the fall term. The association world has come out. ACE has put their own statement out. I'll be posting the links to the NACAC and NAFSA statements related to this proposed final rule. And usually these rules have some sort of public period for comment, but it doesn't seem like that's even going to be possible with this ruling. Because they normally give a 90-day or whatever period of time for comment before rules are finalized. But because we're coming up on the start of the school year, for some schools, middle of August, they'll be expecting students back on campus. This is going to be a real issue. And what's even worse is for those students or those institutions where, and it's written into this rule, and probably one of the most hard-headed and devious parts of this rule is that for schools that go, that are start in person or hybrid, but then during the course of the term, if there's an outbreak or whatever on campus, they go fully online, those students are going to be expected to transfer or leave the country within 10 days. And that's just unbelievable that this administration at the in the middle of a semester would take that, if an institution takes that decision to go fully online. And some who have already made the decision to be in person up until Thanksgiving and then go fully online, those students are going to be expected to leave. International students would be expected to leave for the remainder of the fall term anyway, given this scenario that is outlined by the federal government here. Absolutely outrageous, impractical, hard-hearted, complete lack of compassion. It's reckless, truly reckless. And we all know in international ed that we've taken a beating here in the United States the last 4 years with the current administration. And as a result, we all know, and we all had this feeling in the pit of our stomachs. If we didn't already feel it, we certainly felt it during the inauguration speech that President Trump gave. He gave his famous America First line. And what that meant and would continue to mean, and certainly the fruit of that has been borne out over the last 4 years in terms of policy decisions that this administration has made that are very anti-immigrant, and certainly cutting away at the edges wherever possible of international education space. This is something that is pushed the boat out beyond the pale, as far as I'm concerned. And it's really to be honest with you, I was quite surprised, pleasantly so, in the spring when SEVP came out with their temporary exemptions for students who were forced to go online that we talked about earlier for the spring term. And even allowed students who returned home to continue taking classes to maintain their status so that they could come back in the fall. That benefit has been completely taken away. And the language here in the ruling says this was a temporary exemption due to the COVID-19 pandemic, that these temporary exemptions were given in the spring. So apparently, the government thinks that the pandemic does not exist anymore, that we're currently in an environment where COVID-19 is not a reality, and that's this dystopian world that the government has made out for how we have dealt with coronavirus here in the U.S. It's like the pandemic never existed, or if it existed, it's not a problem now, and it's not expected to be a problem in the fall. So this is really just an unbelievable immoral, frankly, approach to managing international student enrollment in the United States and their legal status in the United States. So the links that I'm posting to the various articles that have been written, the one that I think is really hits home for me is one from the president of McAllister College in Minnesota, and it's entitled "The Cruelty of ICE's Guidance for International Students." There's a couple of petitions that have been started, one from change.org and another one by petitions.whitehouse.gov that actually already has over 150,000 signatures. Only 100,000 are required to prompt a government response or a White House response, but we'll see what happens with that. So it's really one of those topics that it eats at the heart of who we are as international educators. I've had conversations with folks over the last couple of days who are thinking about leaving the profession because it's just gotten so tough for them. And my heart goes out to you folks, and I know that I'm praying for you because this has been, the last 4 years have been some very dark times for international education in the United States, particularly on the inbound side. And with a complete lack of support and understanding for what's happening with our international students, it puts us in a situation that The last time I had any, and I've related this story to folks before, last time I've seen this kind of disaffection for our profession is in the days immediately after CVS was introduced back in the early 2000s, or particularly post 9/11, when international student advisor folks left the profession who'd been in for 10, 15, 20 years because they didn't want to be policemen for the government on ratting on students. So that's certainly that kind of frustration in the field. It's as bad, if not worse, now than it was back in the early 2000s. And I've just had an interview yesterday, a video interview with the folks at VOA, Voice of America, and then that'll be coming out hopefully on Thursday, and I'll certainly share out that link in next week's newsletter. But in that conversation, it was hard to put any positive spin on this other than the fact that the majority of schools that are going to be impacted by this are right now a small percentage of those that are actually reporting they're going to be fully online, because that's really the percentage that are going to be directly impacted. Though this, like most of the other statements this administration has made, actions the administration has taken, the travel bans and everything else, it's the recent executive order on H-1Bs and J-1s and L-2s, NLs, those, it's a cumulative effect, right? That all of these continuously chipping away at the edges of immigration policy to put significant limits on who can be in the country and who has the privilege of receiving visas to study, to work in this country, is really, the impact it has on us as professionals, but also think we know it in our hearts what the impact it has on future students, on future parents of students that may be looking to send their sons and daughters to the United States. And part of this is something we're talking about is in the second point, that's obviously a minor point in comparison, but it's emblematic of, I think, the situation we find ourselves in the United States. And that is, has COVID-19 really deterred or dented international students' university plans? And this is a Pi News article. Again, Pi News, one of my favorite resources for international ed stories. But this takes a look at a BridgeU survey of over 750 undergrad applicants studying at international secondary schools in over 80 countries, and to what extent COVID-19 has affected their university plans. So a kind of a small sample here of undergraduate secondary school students overseas, 80 countries, looking at studying outside their home country. The one piece in here that really asked me, that answered for me the question is, are students, particularly those that are looking at the United States, really, have their dreams been dented, really? And what I really found to be troubling about this is when they asked the preferences for, like, the United States destinations, and there were different reasons why certain destinations were up or down, and what really told us that for the United States, originally when they first did this survey, they've been doing that this with this group of students for a while. Originally, U.S. was the number one destination, and 32% of students who were initially surveyed said that they and of those students who told us that they were, told the survey takers that they were changing countries, that the U.S. is now the number one destination of only 9% of these student test takers. So when you want to talk reputational damage that the United States is taking, this is an example of that. And it's taken that damage because of the leadership in this administration that is continuously putting out anti-immigrant rhetoric and messages that are clearly not designed to showcase this country as a welcoming destination. Despite all the efforts from colleges and universities and associations that have painted the picture that our campuses and our communities are welcoming ones for international students, the administration has done everything in its power to change this impression. And this most recent act by DHS is beyond the pale, as far as I'm concerned. Is this going to be the end of it? I don't think so. I think there has been a reaction, and we've, as I said, we've seen the association world kind of jump up and take action. But we're also now seeing universities. Just this morning, Wednesday morning, right before I went live, we saw that Harvard and MIT are doing have joined together to sue the federal government because of this most recent action and what it would do, the limits that it would be putting on international students. And the president of Harvard calls this action the order that came down without notice, its cruelty surpassed only by its recklessness. And it appears that it was designed to purposefully to place pressure on colleges and universities to open their campuses on their on-campus classrooms for in-person instruction this fall. So this is, of course, the announcement of this decision that by DHS to put these limits on to prohibit online-only instruction for international students in the United States this fall. It came the same day, ironically, as Harvard announced that they were going online only. MIT still has a mix of what they're planning a more hybrid model, so they wouldn't be directly affected by this, but they're still joining in as to lend support to the cause, and hopefully more universities and get this becomes a class action suit. I don't know if it's technically called that, but certainly when you have more institutions signing on to this, I think this would be a no-brainer for most institutions to be a part of this, recognizing the damage, particularly if you're going online only this fall, to the U.S.'s reputation. So we'll see where this goes, and I'm sharing a link to that breaking news story that may or may not still be active by the time you read this. But it's one that that we need to be paying attention to. And I've seen so many of my colleagues in the international ed profession posting the links to these surveys and posting links to the stories that have been coming out that have been so appropriately criticizing this ICE DHS SEVP ruling, and all worthy of action. We need to be advocating to our elected leaders and our institutional leaders. If they're not already aware, they soon should be. Hopefully you're helping be that light for them to shine it on how much more damaging can it get than this. That we got a global pandemic on. The U.S. has not handled it particularly well. States in certain parts of the country are experiencing these spikes. They're trying to keep a lid on that, not expose their students unnecessarily to health risks. But by going online, which is the safest bet, as you could imagine, there are certain costs involved with that to the institutions that lose out on tuition revenue for in-person instruction. If students aren't enrolled, are living on the campus, there's a lack of lost revenue there as well. So those decisions during a very difficult time in our nation's history, this is exacerbating a problem and making it much, much worse by forcing institutions who want to keep international students to have online or hybrid, or to have in-person or hybrid instruction models for this fall. So we'll see where that goes, and we'll certainly keep you up to date on that. Interestingly, what this last point that we'll touch on just briefly, it's another Pi News story about Canada's language education programs and how a lot of intensive English programs and intensive French programs in Quebec are in serious danger of folding because of coronavirus, that it faces total devastation of the international language education sector in Canada. And that there's been pleas made to the IRCC, that's Immigration, Refugees, and Citizenship Canada, a government agency there, that international students be granted special visa measures or risk total devastation of their sector. And they're saying 68% of language programs would close in the country within 6 months because of the lack of students' ability to get visas to come. And we'll touch more on what's happening in Canada in stark contrast to what's happening in the United States next week with a ruling that also came out this morning on from Canada that will be allowing students to study online and still maintain their status and ability to obtain post-study work visas. So, or work permits. So really, it's a stark contrast in what's happening, and I'm really trying to find silver linings here. There's other things going on that's going to push more universities over the edge financially. This is certainly going to contribute to that. It's another Chronicle story that talked about this being the most difficult month in higher ed's history in the United States, with all the various financial pressures being applied, and then something like this happening as well. So there's so much to talk about in this area. So glad that so many of you are listening on here, and I'll be doing my best to answer your questions and comments as we go through this. But thank you again for being a part of the Midweek Roundup today. And know that my heart goes out to you on campus that are facing these kinds of situations. You never in your professional career thought you'd be having conversations with prospective students, with your current students, about just how off-putting these current policies are to international students, to international education in general. So for those of you on campus, keep fighting the good fight, be strong. We will get through this together. And be sure to be advocating as much as you can in all the various means that you can. And we certainly talk about that a lot here on the Roundup. And I've been in touch with my representatives here in Ohio. I've signed the relative petitions and are working through the associations to be part of larger advocacy efforts as well, and encourage you all to do the same, because that's all we can do at this point. That and pray. Pray that that reason will prevail, and that's we'll find the solutions here that make sense and that can return us to some semblance of normality in this new environment that we find ourselves in. So thank you all for being a part of the Roundup today, and we look forward to catching up with you next week. Cheers.